Hear these words of hope from the Hebrew Scriptures. Through them, may we catch a glimpse of God's grace. Following God's leading, the whole community of Israel journeyed in the wilderness, moving from one place to another. Eventually, they set up camp at Rephidim, but there wasn't a drop of water for the people to drink. The people were thirsty. The animals were thirsty. Even the very earth they walked on was thirsty. They begged Moses in desperation, "Give us water to drink." But Moses said, "Why are you complaining to me? And why are you trying to put God to the test?" But the people were so thirsty, they continued to implore him, "Please tell us we didn't come all this way out of the horror of slavery in Egypt, across the Red Sea, through miles of desert wilderness, to die here of thirst." Then Moses cried out to God, "What should I do with these people, my beloved community? They're about ready to pick up all these rocks and hurl them at me." God said to Moses, "Take some of the leaders with you and go on ahead of the rest of the people. Also, take along the walking stick you used to perform miracles on the Nile River in Egypt. When you get to the rock at Horeb, I'll be present with you. Strike that rock with the stick, and water will gush out of it for the people to drink." So Moses struck the rock, and the water flowed. Moses named the place Massah, which means test, and Meribah, which means complaining, because the people of Israel had complained to Moses and tested God when they said, "Is God here with us or not?" And our second scripture reading is from Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." This is the word of the Lord.
Anybody thirsty? I wish I had some water for you. Well, I want to show you a map today and tell you about a little town that I visited several years ago, southeast of London in the county of Kent, about an hour's drive from there, from London. There's a very old English Tudor village that only has one street through the whole town. It is called Chiddingston in Kent County, England. It's part of the National Trust of England, and they've owned Chiddingston Village almost in its entirety, excluding the school, the castle, and the church, since 1939. It is the best example of a Tudor village left in the country, and it is perfectly preserved. The buildings have been used in several television programs and films. Well, near the town center stands an exceptionally large stone which has been there for centuries. It's called the Chiding Stone, hence the name Chiddingston. Comes from Chiding Stone. Legend has it, there are several legends, but the one that captured my imagination said that the name is derived from being the place where offenders were brought and judged and punished. It's a big stone. Every few years, I take a trip with two of my seminary friends, Barbara and Renee. We've all lived so far from each other because of the ministries that we've been about through all these years that every once in a while we get together and take one of these vacations, and it's like a reunion of us sorts. And so a few years ago, we were in England, and we traveled to this village. And so this is Renee showing us how judgment might have been meted out back in the day. I can imagine the crowds gathering in the midday heat to witness offenders coming to the rock for their day of judgment. I hold that chiding stone in contrast to the rock that we are celebrating with worship today, that with God as our rock, the one that we heard about in Scripture, this rock that the people of Israel needed to find the water that they needed to assuage their thirst. For the congregation of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, they'd escaped Egypt, they'd crossed the Red Sea, they received meat and manna from heaven, signs that God loved them and wanted to provide for them. But now here they are, much to their dismay, they discover they're thirsty and there is no water for them to drink. And so they become, instead of a thankful community, a quarreling crowd, a complaining crowd, a doubting crowd, anything but a wise crowd or a grateful community. And their despair feeds on itself. They become demanding. We've never done that, have we? They impugn Moses' motives for bringing them into the wilderness. They're about to pick up the stones that are at their feet and fling them at Moses. Moses is ready for some crowd control. He needs it for a miracle that will bring this unruly mob to its senses. "Enough already," replies God. "Go on ahead of the people, Moses. Take your staff. I'll meet you at the rock at Horeb. Strike that rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." And sure enough, the rock produces water, just as God promised it would. And Moses called that place Massah and Meribah, meaning test and quarrel, because the people had quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" You have this contrast, the chiding stone, a rock of judgment and punishment, the rock of Moses' wilderness, a rock of providence and supply for what is needed at the time. This is our sermon series for the next few weeks, and it'll highlight how God provides what we need in life, that God is our rock. And as Psalm 18 says it so beautifully, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised." So this morning, I thought I might ask you to take a few moments and think about how God has acted in your life to give you what you needed at a particular time in your life. Think about a time when you needed God, when you faced a difficult challenge in your life, when you needed help desperately. Did you experience God seeking to help work in this situation? And be honest, did it take more time than you thought? Or did it seem to never come at all, leaving you frustrated and worn out? But did God find ways to be available to you, to provide for you in that time? And then think about this. How long did it take you to figure that out? How long did it take for you to be thankful about that? In this psalm that we read today, it takes a historical look, for in it, King David celebrates the completion of a lot of season of uncertainty in his life. And he sees in his life the faithfulness of God, the experience of God's kindness and deliverance. Perhaps you can think of a similar time, a moment when you could breathe a sigh of relief because your nightmare had finally come to an end. Perhaps you take yourself back to the moment when you realized, I know God was there and God helped me through this. Maybe you haven't taken the time to look back. Maybe you need to do that. I can attest to the experience of God taking longer than I thought was needed to answer prayers. And on more than a few occasions, I have prayed the following prayer. God, I know you have eternity, but I got 70 or 80 or maybe a few more years, so could you just speed it up a little bit? If we're honest, we all get impatient with God at times. Like the Hebrew people in the wilderness, we complain. God listens to our prayers. God listens to our needs, even when it comes as criticism rather than praise. Why'd you bring us here? To die of thirst? They complained. God could have shook off those questions and left them to fend for themselves in the wilderness, but instead, God made a way for them to find what they needed. Perhaps we can learn a few things from God about how to accept criticism when it comes our way. God did that, accepted the criticism, and lived out grace even in the midst of that criticism. Moses did too. Moses took the criticism of the people, and he did these things with it. Listened to the people, continued to listen. You know, when somebody's giving you criticism, it's so easy to do, we all kind of do it, take a step back and just kind of shut yourself off from it. Don't want to hear it, don't need to hear it, not going to listen. But God still listened. Moses listened to the people. Even the most intentionally hurtful criticism has a grain of truth buried in it. And in Moses' case, the Israelites' complaint reminded him of how dependent those people were on him for their constant care and well-being. And it confirmed to Moses his dependence on the Lord for his strength and ability to meet the needs and to lead the people. Moses, God, in the midst of criticism, continued to listen. Second, Moses did this. He learned from this situation. He learned that he could not do everything himself. You know, one of the critical moments, comments that Moses heeded came not from the Hebrews, but from God. When Moses felt at a loss and overwhelmed and berated by his people, God said, get some others, get some elders. Lean on somebody else in addition to yourself. Take the elders with you. And it's a good reminder for us that when we're feeling down or criticized or at sort of at the bottom of things, God says, don't try to do it all alone. You have this community. You have each other. Let me be a part of going with you to face whatever it is in life that you need to face. Moses was used to doing things on his own, taking the big risk alone, but God didn't want just a hero and just one leader. God was building a community of faith. It's like that for congregations as well. It's not just the minister who does the ministry, but the minister leads a congregation, and together we accomplish big things, good things for God. Building a community means taking a chance. Taking a chance on partnership, on being interdependent with each other, on giving, and also what's probably sometimes even harder, on receiving when we need it from the community. God was teaching Moses, you're not doing this alone, even though you're the leader. You have a community that joins you in this. And God was creating that community. We need to remember that God has given us each other, so we don't have to live our best and our worst days alone. So when you're having those times, remember that you have a community of friends who can and want to be there for you, want to help you, want to walk with you when you are having difficult times. So I encourage you, be there for each other. And when you have need, receive from each other. Third thing Moses learned, he learned to trust that while he felt like he was out there on a limb in that desert, taking these people to God knows where, thankfully God did know where, but he wasn't alone in that he wasn't on his own doing it. That wherever he went, God was there and went there before him. Not only did he have a community who joined him on life's journey, but God always was going before him, making a way. You know that saying from Star Trek, that we would go where no one has gone before? It's not true, because wherever we go, God goes before us. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that. It may seem like God has abandoned us at times, but remember that God is going before you wherever you go in your future, making a way. Our choice is that we can complain about it, or we can offer thanks to God for the life we are given. You know, I read about this Sunday school teacher who one Sunday gave all of her students two things, a lollipop and a stone, small stone. And she said, I want you to put the stone in your shoe and unwrap that lollipop and put it in your mouth. And then I want you to just walk across the room, walk around the room for a while. And so they all put the lollipop in their mouths and they put the stones in their shoes and they started to walk. And she started asking them, so what's it like? What's going on? What are you experiencing? And the children said, it hurts. I don't like it. I don't like having this rock in my shoe. It makes it hard to walk. And they went on and they get all this complaining and moaning and groaning. And she said, I want you to remember this time, because all that you're telling me has to do with the pain that you're experiencing, that rock in your shoe. Not one of you has talked about the delicious taste of the lollipop in your mouth. Now, granted, that was a Sunday school class and those were children, but doggone it, I think there's a lesson for us too. When we find ourselves full of complaints about what do we think that God is doing now? I don't understand it. I don't like it. We forget that we can taste any time in life and see ways that the Lord is good. So as you go through difficult times in life, challenging times in your life, in your personal lives, and as a community of faith, remember that God goes before you, that God listens to your need, even your complaining, that God makes a way, that God does provide for you. God will not offer a chiding stone of judgment, but the very water of life itself. So remember, in the midst of all that's happening, even when it's not so good, taste and see that the Lord is good. that God is your rock. Let's pray. God, forgive us for the times when we complain without taking the time to notice that you are there before us, that you are providing for us, that you are making a way, even in the midst of difficult times. Bless Hazelwood Christian Church, Lord, and all of those who gather as a community of faith here, that as they go forward in this challenging, difficult time, that they too may know you are with them always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.